What up, guys? Welcome back to the Mac Effect. Your host here, Mike. Like always, thanking you guys for always returning, showing that continuous love, that support. I see you guys liking, commenting, subscribing, and sharing with people. So from the bottom of my heart, thank you. Like always, what's my job? What do I like to do for you guys? I like bringing quality, not quantity. I know there's a lot of podcasts out there that just put videos out there because the reality is they're looking for clicks, they're looking for more money. And the reality is what I do is I want to bring quality, guys. I want to bring things that you can digest, you can take home and say, I just learned something that's going to help my development. And in that, I know God's going to find a way to bless. So with that being said, as I'm always looking for the right candidates to interview, the right candidates to just have conversations with, today I bring a very close friend of mine, and you guys will witness the beautiful story that we're going to share, the conversation we're going to have. And if you sit tight, I promise you, you're going to learn something. So we'll see you guys in a bit. Thank you for tuning in. Here we go with another great episode. It is my pleasure, my honor to introduce to you Asuncion Romo, aka Chon. I call him Chon, so you're going to hear me say Chon, guys. But Chon, thank you so much, brother, for being on the podcast. Thank you for coming, man.
It's such a pleasure. Thank you for thinking of me. I'm happy to join you for a wonderful, blessed conversation.
Let's go.
And just excited. Excited to see what today brings.
Yeah, absolutely. A little backstory with Chon, guys, I want to share with you guys. So about a year and a half ago, his daughter was having a lot of quinceañera practices. And then my daughter was a participant in the quinceañera. So that's how we kind of got to meet him. The first time I ever came, think about this, Chon. The first time I met you, I came into your house and I'm being offered like this ridiculously huge plate of food. Carne asada, pollo, arroz, frijoles, papas, cheesecake. I mean, everything. And I'm meeting this guy for like the first time. And then I got to see a little bit more as we kept coming the Saturdays of. We were having tacos dorados. We were having cheeseburgers with double bacon and extra this. We were having a discada, which you introduced me to a discada.
That's right.
Oh, my gosh. My life could never go back to regular tacos. These things were amazing. But the point I'm trying to get to is that I got to see a serving heart. I got to see someone that was like, you know what, guys? It is my honor. It is my privilege. Like, no descansabas. You were serving. Bro, Chon, like, I almost want to cry just because when I see someone that has a serving heart, I also see that it didn't come just because naturally from you. You picked it up from somewhere. Who taught you, or where did you see to be of a serving heart?
Well, I think it's safe to say that food is my love language. But ultimately, where I've gotten that heart from, and credit where credit is due, is my parents. Yeah. The beautiful example that I was always set at home, given at home. Blessed, privileged to be the son of two amazing people, both immigrants, who came to this country with nothing but a dream, really. Wow. As children.
Wow.
And being a product of that solid, stable, consistent home, always thought through example. Words were never shallow. They were never baseless. They were always taught in action.
Love it.
That's where my love for serving or just offering the best of me to other people.
I love it.
Thank you. It's an honor to have you in my home. And
thank you.
You're a wonderful friend.
Thank you for having us, man. Thank you for having me, having us, because, again, the viewers, the listeners are definitely, you know, welcoming us into your place, man. This is your home. This is your sanctuary. So for me, it's an honor, Chon, because you have to protect the people that come into this house, because this is where your family resides in. So to welcome me in and allowing, it's an honor. So thank you, man. Thank you so much.
Thank you. This is not just a house, as you know. This is a home.
Yeah, I love
it. Which was always the goal, to build a place that's safe, a place where my kids can grow. They can develop memories and build those relationships. And, you know, what better place to have friends than in my home?
Love it.
Thank you.
Love it, love it, love it. I want to touch back a little bit on right now when you mentioned your mom and dad, that you saw the example through them. Well, before I actually dig into this question, how many siblings are you guys in your family?
So I am one of four kids.
Okay.
My parents had two boys, two girls. One of which has left us, but not completely. My sister, who passed away a few years back. But yeah, my parents had four children.
Beautiful, beautiful. And you are what number from those four?
I am the third of four.
Okay.
Yes, I have a brother who's 5 years older than me. My sister, who passed away, who was 3 years older than me. And then I have a little sister who was almost 10 years younger than me.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. That's a nice gap your parents yes, took and said, yeah. Hey.
Yeah, my parents had three kids and thought, you know, that's it. But 10 years after my birth, God spoke to them and said, not yet. There's room for one more.
Yeah, I love it.
And ultimately, that was a big blessing for the home.
You know, I love
it. To bring in my little sister, Laura, into that mix. And so, yeah. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful home.
The reason why I wanted to bring you on, not only do I feel like you have such a giving heart, which is what I love, Chon, but and you're not perfect. Like, no one in this world is perfect. But the reason why I wanted to bring you on was because one thing that catches my attention as a man, it's your intellect. You're very in tune to, like, not only education, but you're very in tune to, like, your feelings as well, that's what intrigued me, because that's what I'm trying to do with a lot of our viewers and listeners. Yes, we want to have a good time. Yes, we want to relax, eat good food, have parties, hang out with friends, watch amazing sports. Just to put it out there, Dodgers are back-to-back champs. So, that's right. You know, we want to do these great things. But there's also a balance in life, and that's always intrigued me with you, that you're very well educated. Where did Chon discover, I'm not your typical guy that wants to just do, like, whatever. Like, I actually like studying, reading, and figuring things out, you know?
Yeah. You know, again, it's the home I grew up in, right? I grew up with parents who were very emotionally, I don't want to say mature, because, you know, different styles of thinking are not incorrect. It's just my parents gave us an opportunity to really understand our feelings and our emotions. Never setting strict gender roles on men have to be the machista, that, you know, the lockbox where you keep all your emotions in and you have to act in this way, but allowing us the opportunity to have feelings and emotions and discussing them and it being okay. And my father is that person. And that's what I grew up seeing. I see an emotional person, a sensitive man with a kind heart who is empathetic, and it's okay. And it was beautiful to see all of us grow in the relationship he had with my mother because of that. And so, and also having a mother who from a very early age said to me, there will not be gender roles. You know, I want to raise a man, a true man, a man who can connect with his spouse. Wow. A man who will marry a woman, not a servant.
Yeah, yeah.
And so it's funny. I tell this story all the time about how my mother at a very early age said, I'm going to teach you to cook. I'm going to teach you to iron your own clothes, wash your clothes, because you're going to be a provider. And that just doesn't mean bringing home a check, but providing safety.
So good.
Across the board.
So good. Where are your parents from?
My parents are from Jalisco. They're from a town that's named Jalostotitlán, Jalisco. It's in Los Altos de Jalisco. Both born there. Immigrated at a very young age to the United States. My father came here when he was 16. Wow. With nothing but a dream. You know, hardly a dime in his pocket. And like very many other immigrants, a hard, story to tell, a hard beginning, but nonetheless, was able to achieve very many things.
El vino solo primero?
Vino solo primero.
At 16?
At 16.
Was he already married with your mom or no?
No. He came here as a kid looking for another life. When you're born into realistically a life of poverty with very few options, there's nothing more than to venture out.
And
that's what he did. He ventured out with nothing but a dream and a lot of determination and willpower, and came to this country and was like, what is happening now, was thrown back into his home country and persisted and came back into the U.S. and And during that travel, we met my mother back in the hometown.
Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. So everything happens for a reason.
Everything happens for a reason.
Wow.
He tells a story of seeing her for the first time and saying that she was the most beautiful person he'd ever seen.
Yeah.
And he approached her. He asked if he could talk to her. They spoke there in La Plaza, very old school, right? La Plaza de Novios, at the bench, having a conversation. And in that first conversation, he said to her, there's something about you that I don't think I'll be able to escape. He said, someday I want to marry you. And my mother laughed. My mother laughed and said, oh, you're crazy. And during that conversation, they talked about how he would be returning to the U.S. She said, I'll tell you what, you go, you do what you have to do. And when you return, she said, if you're still interested, we can continue this courtship. And the rest is history.
Wow.
He came back 6 months later and he said, no, I want to marry you. And they were married for almost 44 years.
44 years.
And in 44 years of marriage, I never once saw a fight, an argument. There were disagreements, but always respectful. It was the most loving, nurturing, respectful relationship that I had ever seen, which is why I aspire to a lot
that
avenue.
Yeah.
Because, I was truly, truly privileged.
And that's a rarity, to be honest with you. Like, to have a marriage in Mexico, not have machismo, not have certain roles for the man, certain roles for the woman, because I grew up in a household totally different where we were being taught that this is normal. This is where a woman belongs. This is where a man belongs. And you keep it kind of not separate, but, you're taught these things. You're obviously not being taught these things, which is amazing that your parents didn't have that. How do you think that influenced you in your life? Because did it prepare you for a successful future, or do you think that hindered you from a successful future?
Oh, no. I think that, if anything, it set me up for a successful future.
I love it. I agree.
I think that it made me emotionally equipped to understand other people's emotions and feelings, right? What I grew up with was seeing a man who loves, because he hasn't stopped loving my mother. He still holds a burning candle for her.
Wow.
But a man who loves her so much that he respected her in every possible way. He didn't hinder her growth. He didn't tell her, you have to remain within these confines. My love is unconditional.
Yeah.
Right. Our connection is a sacramental connection, and our love together is special. And so I was able to learn that, practice it in my own home today.
Beautiful.
And even with other relationships in life, personal, professional, I think it just having an empathetic heart, really.
I love it. I love it because I'm telling you, Tron, I'm not saying it to butter you up, but I've felt it walking in the times that we did, the times that I still do. You know, no family's perfect. I'm well aware situations arise within your own family, within your own marriage. But nevertheless, the one thing I do see is you're trying to, you sacrifice. At the end of the day, I see you sacrificing. And as a man, not only am I proud of you, because I am, but that's what a man is supposed to do. He's supposed to be the first one before the wife, before the kids. Now, God willing, the rest of the family starts picking up the example that the man is setting. But a man should be the first one to sacrifice before anybody in their family. But like I said, God willing, everyone else picks it up too. And the wife knows, no, I have to sacrifice too. And they got to sacrifice too to make it work. But I believe it starts from the head of the house, which is the man. Which you said something that it's taken me a while to understand, because I get attacked in so many different ways in the sense of like, you need to be a provider. And it's like, I've been a provider. Yeah. And you hit it right on the head, because in the beginning, when I was unhealthy, when I didn't know how to interpret my feelings, when I would hear people say those things, the first thing that goes through your head when you're unhealthy, it's providing means money. But as you're getting healthier, you understand providing also means a stability. Mm-hmm. Providing also means a safe place, a place where your wife could come up to tell you and say, hey, honey, that made me a little bit uncomfortable, and not shut her out and make her feel stupid for wanting to communicate her feelings. Right. Same thing for your children. I've been in this same living room where I see your son expressing situations that he goes through. I've been in this living room where I see your daughter expressing things and saying things like, dad, it's because you don't understand or you don't get it. But I see that there, whether you understand it, whether you don't understand it, the beautiful thing is that there's a conversation taking place. Yeah. So many homes don't ever have these conversations. What can you say to a man out there that, or a family out there that will love to have these conversations with their family? Like, how could they even get to that point? Like, what type of advice can you give so that at least a conversation can take place?
Right. Well, at the end of the day, your home has to be a safe space. My children are the human beings that I love most in this world. My greatest gift, my greatest accomplishment. To create something from love. They're born from love. They are my love, my heart. And so to create for them a safe space where they can come to you with problems, with situations, I mean, what better place to solve these issues than with you? I always tell my kids, you know what's stronger than one person? Two people. You know what's stronger than two people? A group of people. Mm-hmm. And this family, we're a group of people.
That's right.
I want my children to feel safe. I want them to know that they can come to me with anything, because I wouldn't have it any other way. Why would I want them to feel lost or hopeless, even though they have this safety system, this security system in place, the safety net, right? I want them to be independent, to grow, but I also want them to know that they will not be judged if they come to me.
That love it.
At the end of the day, I'm their father. I'm their unconditional love, and I will always be that. And I want Beautiful. Them to know that they're going to be safe. And if we can solve this together, if I can help them in any which way, that's what my goal is.
I love it. I love it. And I bring out all these different types of topics on my podcast. I talk about finding identity. I talk about confidence. I talk about forgiveness. I talk about emotional intelligence. All these variables that play a factor to the men that we are, right? I have so many episodes. If you guys haven't seen them yet, I promise you guys, go back, look at my episodes that are available. Take a listen to all of them, because everything plays a key factor to a development that can be of a blessing for you. I kid you not, I'm not doing this because of clickbaits. I could, but I don't. So I do it because I discovered something where, oh man, I'm broken. I need healing. And again, that's what intrigued me of you, Chon, because I saw a man that, you know, you haven't had to go through a bunch of things that I've had to go through to learn in life. And I'm glad God really shows me there's many multiple paths to development and growth. You know, you can learn by reading, you can learn by people teaching you. And the last one that a lot of us guilty learn es con los madrazos de la vida.
Yeah.
Hasta que la vida te da uno bien dado es cuando uno ya agarra la onda. And sometimes it has to be once, twice, three, four, a bunch of times until we finally get it. But again, that's why when the first time I met you, obviously very superficial, very, you know, we're just getting to know each other because of. But then with time, we started just discussing a little bit more about family and core values. And I started to see love. And we could disagree in a lot of different things, Chon. We can disagree when it comes to religious beliefs. We could disagree when it comes to political things. But the beautiful thing that sets it all together is one thing that we definitely agree on. It's love. And I think when you genuinely love and you love with purity, that really sets the plate where it's like we can be in disagreements, but those are just minor things. The beautiful thing is we're genuinely looking out for our family, for our loved ones, and then ultimately for ourselves. You got to take care of yourself. You got to take care of your mind. And again, I'm not saying it to butter you up. I say it because I see the full balance. Like I see you do take care of yourself. I see you do take care of your family. I see the way you take care of your wife, the way you express your love about your wife. Yes. This world sees it as that's corny. That's cheesy. Oh my God. Well, you know what? Before social media started devaluating the word marriage and commitment and hard work and dedication, because all these words lost value thanks to social media. But when I see it, like in your family, in your relationship with your wife, I respect it, bro, because it's not easy. But you know that the formula is you got to keep going even when you feel when you don't feel it. Which I guess the question that's coming to me right now to ask you is like, how do you keep it going when your feelings tell you, oh, I'm tired. Like, oh, there could be something better out there. Like, how do you keep it going when these feelings come in to your mind or to wherever?
Well, I think it goes back to what I was saying about making this house into a home. The home is so much more. The relationship is a part of the home. Mm. It's the foundation for the home. Because those children were born of that love, that relationship. It's a sacramental promise I made. I made it to my wife. I made it to God that I would be there for her through thick and thin, you know, in sickness and in health at all times. And I take that commitment very seriously. But I also understand how what I'm doing is I'm looking past the petty. I'm looking past the superficial problems, and I'm never losing track of what matters, which is the true love that I have for my wife and why we married and what came from that. And everything, every problem has a solution. Every problem has a solution. As long as two people come together with love and respect, I think that's how you kind of get through it. We all go into, you know, we have the funky moments. We have those moments of hardship, difficulty, disagreement. It's completely normal, you know, as separate human beings. We're never expected to be on the same page at all times. But it's how you approach that. It's how you recognize that we are two different human beings. And then not allowing the ego to get caught up right at the front. When someone says, hey, you know, what you said hurt me. Not responding like, that wasn't me, I didn't mean to say that, but saying, hey, I'm sorry if that's the way I came off. That wasn't my goal, right? So it's how you also receive things and never losing track of the big picture.
I definitely want to touch a little bit of a little bit deeper when it comes to your love and in your marriage, because one thing that I have noticed is that Chon es enamorado. El Chon,
hopeless romantic.
Yes. Like, you have that in your heart. And I'll be honest with you, bro. I'm going to be completely honest with you. I am also a hopeless romantic. Like, lo que viene siendo el amor.
Got to be.
Oh, man. Like, I love it. I am, I'm not going to lie to you. I'm excited for the future. I'm excited. I'm not excited for the dating scene. I'll be honest. I'm not excited for the dating scene. But what I am excited for, Chon, what I am excited for is falling in love. What I am excited for is truly being committed to one woman, to one person, to do that once more. And I know God's going to do it. And I wanted to touch that basis with you because, pues, ¿de dónde viene ese amor, ese pasión de Chon?
A lo que comenzamos, viene de lo que aprendí en mi casa.
That's right. Ver
el amor de mis papás. Mi papá nunca dejaba de enamorar a mi madre. Mi padre, para mi mamá, la única palabra que salía de su boca era mi reina, mi reinita. She never stopped being his queen.
Wow.
Y de ahí no la bajaba.
Wow.
Y de traerle flores, de siempre estar atento a ella.
I love it.
Era un cariño tan lindo. Entonces, para mí, esa era la norma. That was the norm, right?
Wow. Like,
I exercise that in my home with my wife because I want my daughter to know that it's possible. I know people say, oh, some women have high expectations of this generation. No, I don't care how different of a generation it is. You teach your children what they should expect for themselves.
100%.
And I think I want my daughter to know that she should expect nothing less than a respectful man who, if they truly love her, will never stop trying, never give in to monotony and you know, disregard that relationship.
Love it.
But to understand that love is it's a living, breathing thing, and that the more you work, you put into it, the more it grows. Mm. And that's how you keep it alive.
I love it. I love it.
So, yeah.
I want to make a key point for all my viewers and listeners. You know, Chon was modeled this by his mom and dad, which this is why it's so important for fathers, mothers, be very careful what you're modeling to your children. They pay more attention to what they see than to what they hear. Now, of course, they're going to pay attention to the words, too. Like right now you mentioned mi reina, beautiful. Put it to a value that, like, not only no one else can reach but you, because you're the husband. That's the only place, the only person that's entitled to reach that queen. But put it in a place where now you're instilling it to your children.
Yeah.
And your dad place that in you, man. And I love it, because call me old school, but I think that's the way it should be. I think back then it was more of se respeta, se da valor, you know, so many different things that I know we're losing it nowadays, but it's not gone. I think there is a awakening going on where a lot of us are understanding, oh yeah, social media is fake. Oh yeah. Which is why I made the Mac Effect, because the Mac Effect is going to be real. It's going to be raw. It's not going to be like, I'm just going to try to get all the juicy stuff out of your conversation. And we're going to talk about your spouse, your kids, and all the bad things they do. It's not that. It's what is the conversation's going to happen, in the sense of what are we going to learn about one another, but what can we continue to develop for our children? Earlier when we were having coffee, Chon, we were talking about your son, and I told you, I said, Chon, that's where you have to tell your son, I'm proud of you. That's where you have to speak those words of life in him. And you've done the same thing with me. And that's the whole point of the friendship. Like, that's what I want to communicate to people. It's like, it's not about a friendship of I'm just a yes man to you. It's I'm going to tell you, if I genuinely love you, I'm going to tell you when I see something's not right. But I'm also going to praise you when I see you're doing something solid.
That's right.
And I see it, like, I remember when, again, we first started coming over, obviously the first questions you start asking is like, how'd you meet your wife and how the situation? Y yo le miraba la cara a Chon. Chon platicaba de su historia de amor, pero y yo sé que todavía lo tiene. Like when he talks about it.
My notebook.
Yeah, that like he loves his story. And Yolanda too. Yeah. Like she would speak it and I'm like, ¿y estos? Like todavía están pajaritos enamorados allí en un branch. And like they're in love with each other. But I love it because you can see that there's mutual respect between the both of you. You don't see that often nowadays, sadly. I'm not one that's like, a fuerzas te tienes que quedar casado. There are those situations where there's abuse, physical, mental, so many different factors of why a divorce is probably the best cause to go. I just know that there is a lot of wasteful marriages. And what I mean by that one is, a lot of people just throw away something so good just because I feel. But nevertheless, I've shared those topics with you guys in other episodes. I definitely want to touch bases a little bit more with you in the sense of I know earlier you mentioned my dad was, and then you said, no, is in love with your mom. I know you said was because I know, but the audience doesn't know. You lost your mom. About how many years ago has it been since you lost your mom?
So a little background to that. I lost my mother July 29th, 2017. I lost her to pancreatic cancer, a disease that is absolutely devastating. It's a disease that has a very, very, very minuscule survival rate. It's a disease that affects our Latino community tremendously and isn't really spoken about. But yes, I lost her July 29th, 2017 after a 2-year battle.
Wow. Wow. The first question that just comes to my mind that I want to ask you is, what would you tell people that don't value the fact that they still have mom and dad walking this earth?
Wow. It's I don't want to preach because everyone's relationship with their parents is different and
correct.
The situations correct. That they've lived, right, can many times dictate their actions and I'm not here to do that, but when you have something as beautiful as I have and have had, it's the best advice I can give you is to just take advantage of every moment you have with them. Love them the way they've loved you. Those moments are fleeting. And it isn't many times until you're faced with mortality, like really there in your face, that you freak out and then you don't even know which way to go and what to do because it's at your door. Death is at your door. And what you lose, it's not always just face value. It isn't, you know, losing my mother. I remember it was like, oh man, my mom, she just passed away. I'll never see her again. And that was like, wow, that for me, that was kind of where I was focusing. And then the days would pass and I'm like, I'll never get to hug her again. And we used to talk every morning. Get to have that conversation with her. I can't start my day off again with the conversation the way I used to. And then she made my favorite feel food, mole. I'll never get to try her mole again. So I'm grieving her. I'm grieving my confidant that I spoke to in my mornings. I'm grieving my favorite food. My favorite sound, you know, her laugh,
her voice.
And so there's so many things that
her smell,
you realize that as days go by, how deeply embedded they are to you and your identity and what makes you who you are. And so that grieving process isn't always easy. It's a very difficult process. And I encourage everyone, if you have your parents, Tell them that you love them, hug them, kiss them, because they're only on this earth for a limited amount of time, as are we all.
So good. So good. Man, Tron, I think because life has hit me with so many different things, like, you really start putting in perspective, like, what are riches? What is being poor? What is struggling? What is not struggling? Like, you know, you really start thinking a lot of these things, right? And the reason why I bring this up, it's because, like, again, my mind just starts thinking, like, what amount of money can ever compensate that loss? Like, and the answer to that question is nothing. Like, you can give me $1 billion. You would rather give up those billions so that you can have your mom for another day.
Absolutely.
I think anyone in this world that have lost loved ones will do this. I've lost certain loved ones. I'll be honest, not like they haven't been like 100% direct hits. Like, my grandparents, like, they were older. So you kind of, like, it's not like you knew and you want this to happen to them. Absolutely not. But they were older. Like, you just, you knew this was going to kind of happen. But, like, how old was your mom when she passed away?
So my mom passed away 1 month after her 64th birthday.
She was young.
Very young.
She's 64. Young. That's, you're still very young there. My grandparents were, like, in their 80s. You know, like, it's just, I think one of them was in their 90s. Like, you kind of expect these things, right? So the point I'm trying to get to, it's like that passing would definitely be very, like, traumatic. Like, you want, you actually have helped me to value my mom and my dad more. There's been many times where I've texted you something, like, either in the holidays or something, and then you mentioned something small, like, you know, hug your mom. And I'm just like, oh, it really brings, my mind just goes back to, like, oh, it's because he doesn't have his, and he knows the smallest things, guys. Like, even the fact that your phone rings and says mom, those are the smallest things that it's like, it's such a blessing. It's such a blessing. And it's not to rub it in your face, like, or, oh, look, I have it and you don't. Not at all. Not at all. If anything, it's, he's using his pain with purpose for other people, saying, guys, I'm well aware. I wish this were to happen. You are so lucky. Make sure you're answering those calls, or make sure you're doing these things. And again, you even mentioned, I don't know situations. Every situation is different. We can't judge, because traumatic events could have happened and so many things, right? But nevertheless, the homing of it is the love for one another, the love. So,
yeah, yeah. Love your parents. Value the time you have with them. Know that we may not always agree with them. You know, our parents come from a different generation, a different school of thought. They learn things from their parents.
Yeah.
And so there are generational traumas, and there are things that we deal with. And, you know, I've heard and I've seen the most current generation maybe sees things very differently from my generation. And then my generation saw things differently than our parents' generations. And so always offer your love with an open heart, with a bit of understanding that no two heads are the same, no two brains think the same way, but really understanding and taking the time to recognize your parents and their love language, right? We talked about how I grew up and what I learned from my father, right? I didn't come from a home where love was taught through material. My parents shared love physically, hugging us, kissing us, positivity, never negativity. It was a very enriching environment. But I also have seen the other side, where the parents, or mainly the father, will work his butt off and works extended hours so that they can give their children everything they never had. And that's his way of showing his love, his limited way, right? But that's how he learned it. And it isn't that he's wrong. It's just a different style. And sometimes people grow up a little bit resentful that they didn't have what they deem as this storybook idea of what a father or mother should
be. 100%.
But if you understand the love language and the sacrifices, you'll understand that maybe their way of communicating that love was limited in the sense of the emotional fulfillment. But think about how hard and what they've given up from themselves to do what they've done so you have what you have.
Yep. Yep.
So we have to be giving and understanding and always have empathy towards those that love us the most. And no one loves us the most than our parents.
Agree. John, your mom passes away.
Yes, she is.
And I believe a couple months or years later, now your sister's battling through something very similar.
Yeah, it was a really freaky time. My mom passed away July 29th, 2017. And then about 2 months later, I got sick.
Wow.
And I started developing some pancreatic problems. And there was the fear that maybe I also had the disease. Luckily, through all of that process, I did get very sick, but they were able to identify something that could potentially be causing this, right? I don't have that. I feel so much better now. I'm recovering, I should say. But my family is dealing with this. And during this entire time, I keep telling my siblings, look, if I have this, and it's something that may be genetic, right? You guys should get checked out. You should look into this. You should, you know, talk to your doctors about these tests. And as luck should have it, 4 years after losing my mom, I lost my sister to pancreatic cancer as well. And so, you know, you lose the two most influential women in your life, your mother and like your second mother, mm-hmm. really.
Yeah, she's your older sister.
To the same disease. And there's a tremendous amount of impotence that goes into what you're experiencing, that feeling that you couldn't do anything for them. Yes, you know, very traumatic. And so my family was hit with this tremendous, I don't even want to say curveball, because this was a strikeout, my man.
Wow.
It was a tremendous hit, like nothing we could have ever imagined.
My follow-up for that is, I obviously, till today, that's something that still strikes your heart. Yeah. What has helped you to endure this pain and to, you never get over it, but what has helped you to just understand, keep going forward?
Oh God, the promise of God.
Amen.
If we did not believe, if I didn't have faith in my life, if I felt that this life was the start all and end all, there wouldn't be much drive. It's the promise of tomorrow.
Amen.
It's the promise that someday we'll be together.
That's right.
And we will. And that's what ultimately has pulled me out of the darkness. As humans, our minds, right, they go places they don't need to go. And realistically, my faith in Christ has been my light at the end of the tunnel. And my children, can't break for them. Because of them, they need me. And so it's that motivation, like you could break, you could falter, but they need you.
I love
that. That's, you know, God, my mother prayed those children into my life. My mother prayed those children into my life, and those children have been my salvation.
I love it. I ask, John, because a lot of people don't understand, like, why, like, what's the point of sharing this story on the Mac Effect, or why? You know why, Chon? Because there's many people that don't have the relationship with God, and I want to share to them, that's what's going to help you get through the heartbreak. If you've lost a special someone, if you're angry with yourself for losing that person or with someone else or with God, I'm daring you. Go have a conversation with him one-on-one. Get on your knees. Be in your bed, wherever you're at. Have that conversation with God. He will help you get through it. It won't leave. That pain's still there.
That's right.
But is he helping you carrying it?
Absolutely. I can tell you that grief is such a tricky thing, right? You hear about the stages of grief, right?
Yeah.
You hear about like the first stage, which is what is it? And I'm drawing a blank here. Where you don't believe it. You
shock.
Right? It's like disbelief and you don't want to even hear about it. You don't want to hear about the loss. You don't want to even believe that it happened. And then you go through the bargaining stage, right? Where you're like, if I had just done this, something would have, if I had just, you know, if I would have cared more, if I had taken her to this appointment or tried with this doctor, maybe then. And then there's anger, mm-hmm. right? Which I lived in for a very long time. Anger where you're just angry that one of the most beautiful human beings you've ever experienced is gone. And then you start saying, well, why her and why not that person who's a terrible human being?
That's not fair. Mm-hmm.
And then there's depression, ultimately, before you come to the conclusion of acceptance. You know, you go through all of these phases. But for me, what got me out of all of those phases was really, again, having a belief and strong conviction, not just the belief, a conviction in my body that I know that we're going to be together again.
Beautiful.
That's the promise of life.
Beautiful. I love it. I love it. I'm hoping and I'm praying people watching can see how there is hope. There is light at the end of the tunnel. In any situation that you're in right now, we're talking about loss, grief, heartbreak. I've shared with you guys disappointment, goals being shattered, the loss of a marriage, many things, right? But as the process is going, as you continue to heal yourself, not lose yourself in bottles,
right?
Not lose yourself in other relationships, right? Not doing it in an unhealthy manner. But when you're doing it in a healthy manner, God really starts showing you a light at the end of the tunnel. It's one of the reasons why I love connecting with you, Chon, because I can feel the sincerity. I can feel the realness. And I love, like, even, at least for me, this is intriguing. Like, dude, even like, it sounds silly, right? I don't care what people are going to think or say, but it sounds silly. But even like your vocabulary, I'm like, dang, this guy like eloquently like describes and says things that I'm learning. Like, I'm like, I need to hang out with him more because it's going to expand my vocabulary, which I love because that's how you start emotionally identifying certain feelings, certain emotions, certain things that you had no idea of that you're like, oh, that's this or that's that. Like the grieving, I didn't know them by order, but right now that you said it, I'm like, it's true. And if we pay attention to these things, guys, we can emotionally see what stage we're in. I've even shared with you guys in previous episodes how anger is a secondary emotion. We're really covering something primarily. Anger is what's trying to protect what offended us in the first place. Many things, right? But this is why I love talking to this guy, because there's growth, there's development, and there's like a friendship where I have told Chon, you have all the right to tell me in areas that I'm messing up and doing wrong. And I feel comfortable enough to share the same thing with him, because that's what real love is.
That's right.
Not real love that's like, you should do whatever makes you feel right, Chon.
No, my man.
Because if I was that type of friendship that was like, Chon, whatever makes you feel right, bro. Follow your heart, man.
There are enablers. Disguise themselves as friends, but really should just be acquaintances.
And it's and it's hard, right? We could go into another rabbit hole when it comes to that one, which I'm not, but because it could be very difficult. Like, how do you even distinguish? But I can't say this enough. It just goes back to the foundation of I feel the love. I see the love. It's not fake. It's not hypocritical. And I genuinely love that when it comes to the friendship, man.
Thank you, brother.
When it comes to the friendship.
Mi papá siempre ha dicho que el amigo no es el que te dice, sí, mira, ve, haz esto, aunque sabe que no está bien. Ya, yeah, cállate, ven, tómate esta cerveza, ven tal. Eso no es un amigo. El amigo es el que te dice, hey, ¿sabes qué? Creo que eso no está a lo mejor para ti.
Yeah.
Right. And so I'm glad that I could be that for you. I consider you the same way. Accountability is not a bad thing. El que peca, el que dice la verdad no peca, pero incomoda, ¿verdad? Y a veces nuestras verdades nos incomodan porque es algo que no queremos en realidad ver de nosotros. Es un ataque a nuestro ego. Es un ataque a la persona que queremos proyectar.
That's right.
En vez de trabajar en realidad la persona que somos.
That's right. ¿Verdad? That's why I don't care anymore how I mean, I do care how I look and present myself, right? Like, I do want to take care of myself, but I care more about my inside now. Like, I remember my years where all I cared about was, like, I want to make sure people know on the outside that I'm calm, cool, and collected, but I'm a mess inside. Now I'm like, no, now I'm calm, cool, and collected on the inside. And even if I do look a little bit of a mess outside, I can work on that. Yeah. But it's the heart that really matters, man. So, yeah.
Así es.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it.
It starts on the inside and it makes its way to the outside.
Love it. Love it. And before we close, I do want to just discuss a little bit about your family. Chon, you've been married for how long?
This year, a few months from now, I will be married for 21 years.
21 years. Yes. 21 years.
I met my beautiful wife when I was a child. We were both children. I think my wife was 15 years old and I was 17. And we met on vacation in Mexico, of all places.
Before you keep going with that story, I'm sorry for the listeners. You guys can't see this. But for the viewers that are watching, look at his face. Ya está sonriendo. Ya está todo ahí getting blushy. Like, he's opening up his notebook right now. Like, and I love it. But I'm pointing that out because I touch bases with this. I'm a hopeless romantic too. So, like, for me, it's like, I love this, bro, because it's like, es lo que cuenta en la vida. All in. There's no plan B. All in. And I think when you do all in, is when you get the biggest blessings in your life, man. So even if, like for me, me queme going all in, it's all good. I'm not afraid to do it again because the reality is I know there's a blessing when there's no plan B. So keep going with your story, bro. So you met her in vacation.
We met on vacation. We were kids, really. And we became friends by chance. We ran into each other. I was visiting my parents' hometown of Jalostotitlan. We were there for my grandparents' 50th wedding anniversary.
Wow. So you've been getting modeled relationship commitment for years, bro, years.
And my grandparents had the same relationship that my parents had. So they had also a very loving, genuine, nurturing relationship. Zero machismo. And this is in Mexico. Different generations. Right, but still, those ideals and those values being passed on, and so yeah, I'm on vacation, and I come across a little boy who's lost in La Plaza. A little boy was crying, and he didn't know where his mom was. He got away from her, and I'm like, well, let me help you. Let's try to find your mom. So I walked this little boy by the hand around the area through La Plaza. And he says, I found her. And he runs from me. And as he does that, there she is, my wife.
First thoughts?
Well, I was blown away, right? I saw her and I immediately thought she was beautiful.
Wow,
and
I love it.
But then I thought she was way older than me. Wow. Even though she was the younger one.
Uh-huh.
you know, she looked older than me. She looked more mature, and she carried herself with a lot more maturity than probably I did at the time. But we became friends. We talked, became friends, and we would write to each other. Because she, what people probably don't know, is that I was born and raised here in Los Angeles, where my wife was born in Mexico, but moved to Chicago at the age of 4.
Okay.
And so lived most of her life in Chicago. So vacation's over. Hey, you go back to LA, you head to Chicago, it ends there. Your 2 weeks of like hanging out and, you know, being friends, part of a friend group, had ended. And so we were kids, but we decided, let's be pen pals. And I'll tell you, I would look forward to the notes, the letters, the smell of perfume on the cards.
Wow.
So it was very old school chivalrous.
Love it. Love it. People are like, letters? What are letters? These are things before text messages were invented, guys. Before DMs.
Oh, my God.
Before sliding into people's DMs, you needed to slid in their in their mailbox. Yes.
Yeah, and it was great when you'd get that card or that letter, and it didn't matter how long or short it was. You'd crack it open, and it was like the smell of the perfume. And if you were lucky, you got a picture, right, to go with the card or the letter. And that was fuel, right? And so we did that. We became pen pals, and we wrote to each other for years, really, until when she turned 18. I was in college. I was 21, I think, 2021, and I was invited to accompany her family on a trip to Puerto Vallarta. So I did. I was, you know, her parents were gracious enough to have me, and I joined the family, and I had such a wonderful, wonderful connection with her family, just the beautiful acceptance of me. And during that trip, I saw something in my wife. It was like this moment that we shared where I just looked at her, and she looked at me with such love, and it felt like I knew her my entire life. And I knew at that moment that I wanted to know her for the rest of my life.
Wow.
And it was that moment that I knew I would marry her. I didn't tell her, but at that moment, and here I am assuming that she's going to marry me, right? But it's that moment for me where I was like, I'm all in. And I finished my bachelor degrees. I was studying to be a physician, right? Getting ready for medical school, taking the MCATs and doing all that. And I decided, you know what? I'm going to take a furlough year. I'm going to take a year off because I was a little burned out. I mean, during that year, I'm going to go work in a lab and do this and get ready for medical school. But my life changed because my reality was that I was seeking to become a physician so that I could be a father, so I could create a life for my family. Mm-hmm. But the real end goal for me, my true calling in life was never to be a physician. It was to be a father, a husband. And my plan to be a physician changed, and I went into education.
I love it.
And as you know, I've been in school administration for 22 years. Work in education with K-12 students, and wow. I've been doing it for 23 years now.
Wow. I love it. I mean, our plans are one thing,
yeah.
And then our love tells us a different thing. Yeah. And then yeah. On top of that, John, mm-hmm. Then you get married, you start your beautiful family, mm-hmm. And then your firstborn comes. Sebastian.
Yeah, and even then, right, we Sebastian was a gift. Sebastian is a rainbow baby, and and so is my daughter Cammy. She's also a rainbow baby.
Wow.
And so our
can you explain rainbow baby, just in case if some people don't understand it?
A baby that comes after the loss of another child. So my beautiful wife and I, we lost her first. And then Sebastian came. It was a blessing. And few years later, we said, let's go for this again. And then we lost our third, you would say. Very, very traumatic experience. That one was probably more traumatic for us than the first.
Wow.
But then Cammy came as a blessing, you know, a true blessing. And then we kind of said, okay, we're good. We don't want to go through that again. That was hard. That was difficult emotionally. And now we're blessed. We have two children. What more could we ask for? And then years later, while my mother was fighting her battle, I experienced a very beautiful moment with my mother. We were at her chemotherapy session, which would run about 8 hours a day, one day a week. And I'm sitting there with her, and she's receiving chemo, and I'm talking to her about how I would love to have more children, but the cost of daycare and, you know, and also trusting daycare. Who do we trust that's going to take care of our child? And there's so many excuses. Y esto, y por qué no, y por esto, y por acá. Y mamá dice, uno pone, Dios dispone. And that same day,
so good.
We're sitting there, and my mom is going through her infusion, and I look across, and there's an older lady, probably in her mid to late 70s, and she just went through about 5 hours of chemotherapy. And chemotherapy is terrible. What it does to your body is horrendous, and the secondary effects, the side effects sometimes are unbearable. And I see this old lady be approached by the nurse. The nurse asks her, "Oh, sweetheart, are one of your children picking you up today?" And the lady very sheepishly kind of turns her head down and says, oh, I don't have any children. Can you call me a cab? And the nurse kind of flinched. She said, well, do you have anybody else in your life you can call? A sibling? She said, no, I have no one. And the nurse broke down. The lady didn't see it, but the nurse starts crying. So she turns her back to her and walks away. And then she makes a beeline to my mother. She stops by my mom. She grabs my mom's hands and she says, Maria, my mother's name was Maria Irene. She said, Maria, you don't know how blessed you are. You're never alone. Your kids are always with you. It's a testament of the love that you've given them. My mother perked up with pride. She said, oh, I know. They're my greatest accomplishment. That moment for me was the moment that I knew that if I wanted more children in my life, that it would be up to God to set that limitation, not for me. So we came home, and my wife and I had a conversation, and Noah was born less than a year after.
Wow. I love it. I love it.
And that's the birth of my third child, right? Who brought with us so many blessings. Hardships at the beginning. He dealt with some very difficult situations where we almost lost him. He spent the first month of his life in the ICU. But look at him now. He's probably the biggest, strongest one of my kids. And he's just doing amazing.
Wow. I love it. I love it. I love it. Love it. Chon, to close out the episode, one of the things that I love about having the podcast is that God has been really telling me, like, little do you know how much these conversations are going to bless you, not only now that we're having it, but in the future. Like, we could rewatch these things. I have a couple episodes with my mom that I'm like, man, thank you, Lord. I'm going to be able to rewatch these episodes and have, remember these things, right? It's in my heart. A message that you would want to share or say something direct to your wife, Yolanda, or to your children. What would you want to say to them?
What would I go and say to them? Well, I try to tell them every day that I love them, and that's something I always want them to know. a message to everyone watching you and us here now is that no moment in life lasts forever. You will be faced with difficult times. We talked about grief, and grief isn't just bereavement, right? It isn't grief from bereavement, losing someone to death, but grief comes from changes in your life. Many times uncalled for changes, separations, fights, anything really that causes change.
A car accident.
Anything can bring about grief in your life.
Yeah.
But I think the recommendation I could make to everybody who's watching today and who's listening is that no moment lasts forever. And if you approach that grief with an open heart and never lose track of the beauty that surrounds you, never lose track of God's greatness and his blessings to us, that even though you're hurting, you're still able to wake up and look at that person next to you, right? You're still able to enjoy in the beauty of seeing them smile. You're still able to hear your children laugh. And also the driving force behind getting better, not just for ourselves, but also for those around you. And I think that's inspiring. So grief is, it's an impediment to growth, but it's not a permanent impediment. It's something that we work through, we get past. And with God's grace, we only become smarter, stronger, and it makes things even more beautiful.
Love it.
That apple's going to taste a lot crispier and a lot sweeter when there's the feeling of loss and the feeling of never being able to taste that apple again. And so I think that that's what life is after an impactful moment, is it makes things a little bit more shiny. It makes you more aware of the things that matter.
Love it.
But never lose hope. Reach out to people who are willing to listen. There's a lot of help out there. If you're going through a difficult time, reach out to your local parishes. Find someone, a mentor, a pastor, a priest, someone that you can communicate with. Reach out to a therapist. Never feel that it's too cool to have problems and to talk about them. Okay? It's important to know that there are resources and that people care.
Love it.
I care.
100%.
You care.
100%.
You know, when we do the things that we do. We work in the lines of work that we work in. For me, education, because I'm able to make an impact and touch those students. They need someone like me who can offer them these things.
Guide them the right path, the right way.
And the people that you work with, they need someone like you to also impart those values.
Amen. Amen. And only to add on that a little bit more, guys, I've always shared with you guys Breath of Life Foundation as a place to go get coaching, go get mentorship, counseling, great opportunities. If you feel that tug of like, I need to speak to someone, my information will be there. I can guide you to the right place. You know, I'm not a professional. I'm not licensed, but my information will be there. I'll have Chon's information there as well, where you guys can feel free, reach out, talk to us. And we might not have the answer, but we can definitely go get the help, because one thing I do know is we do need it. We just have to be brave enough to say, hey, I need a little bit of help in this. And in that development, not only are you going to get stronger, you're going to get wiser, you're going to get healthier. And when you're healthy, you also start blessing the people around you, because now you're helping the people around you get healthier as well. So
that's so right, Mikey.
I love it.
Ayúdate que yo te ayudaré.
That's right.
Right. And so I know that our speaking specifically to men's mental health, I think it's really important to understand that it's okay as a guy to say, I don't have it together. And it's okay to need to reach out to someone. It doesn't make you any less of a man. It makes you a strong man to recognize your shortcomings.
I think it makes you even stronger to be able to say, I'm struggling and I need help.
Right.
I think it's a weak man that says, I don't need help from anyone.
Because you're not brave enough to push down that wall.
Exactly.
That wall that's been built up that tells you, los hombres no lloran, Los hombres se aguantan.
Yep.
Right? Aquí no importa eso. Aquí lo que importa es tu bienestar.
That's right.
Lo que importa es que tú te desarrolles bien, que estés contento, que estés feliz y que puedas otorgarle eso a tus hijos, a tu familia, a todo aquel que está a tu alrededor, ¿verdad? Que puedas salir a tu vida, a tu trabajo, que puedas compartir con tu mamá, con tu hermana, con tus hijos y que siempre es algo positivo, ¿verdad?
Positivo y en paz. En paz. Porque mucha gente puede decir, pues yo ya estoy haciendo eso. Pero si no hay paz, si hay esa mentira de que estás haciendo cosas que no debes de hacer, estás lastimando gente de adrede o no estás dando la oportunidad de tus seres queridos que tengan la chance de hablar y comunicar contigo de ciertas cosas, entonces no lo estás haciendo con paz. Pero cuando lo haces, vives una vida en paz. And I agree with what you're saying, John, because like my life's chaos right now. But I'm in peace, bro, because I know what I'm doing is like I'm not purposely doing anything. I'm not trying to cheat the system here, trying to cheat over here. Like, cuando uno hace las cosas bien, y es difícil. To do the right thing is one of the hardest things to do.
Claro.
Because then you're the one that kind of takes the beating. But with time, it's worth it. It's worth it.
Lo correcto nunca, no siempre es fácil.
That's right.
Lo correcto a veces es lo más difícil que puedes hacer.
Yeah.
Pero sabes que lo que estás sembrando vas a cultivar.
That's right.
You reap what you sow, my man. And so, with your children, with every relationship, every interaction.
Friendships.
Offer empathy. Yep. Offer kindness. Right? Because, you know, if you offer good, 9 times out of 10, you're going to receive good in exchange.
Amen.
And not to be selfish that our actions are based on a reaction in that sense. But no, you put it out into the world for the sake of improving the world.
Others, that's right.
And it's just going to continue to grow. Be an inspiration.
Yeah. Now you guys know why I love this guy. Now you guys understand why, right? Like, it's about standing for what's right, mental awareness, mental health, emotional stability, development, but love. Like, I've shared this in the past with you guys. It feels like it's a lot, but the reality is you just got to do it one little step at a time. And little by little, we start rectifying, we start correcting things, but just allow love. And when you allow love to just move, love starts telling you, hey, Chon, you can get better in this. Hey, Chon, hug over here. Hey, Chon, support there. Hey, Chon, tell them no on that and be firm on that, because that's what love is. Love is someone that's, you know, like, it's just, it's beautiful, Chon. I can feel it. I see it, man. And I just, like, even right now, like, what you were sharing at the end, I'm like, that came out of a place of passion. That came out of a place of love, not only for yourself, but for other people as well. And that's what we're here for, man. Yeah,
thank you.
That's what we're here for.
Well, hopefully our conversation today will touch someone. They'll get a little something out of this.
Amen.
Even if it's just the keyword pancreatic cancer, I'm going to throw that out there again, because it's something that a lot of our people don't even have on their radar. It's not even on the spectrum. And so it's important for there to be an understanding of
how
these diseases might be linked to diabetes and pre-diabetes. And so I encourage everybody who watches to go out and talk to your doctors. You know, if you're
love it.
Right, if your sugar levels aren't regulated, talk about what that means and what pancreatic cancer is, and bring these questions to your doctors. The more we know, the more we can battle this disease.
I love it.
And
love
so,
it.
We have a wonderful organization, PanCan, who does great things to anybody who's diagnosed with pancreatic cancer, from molecular testing at no cost. They can send out samples out to these highly specialized labs that will identify markers within the cancer, so that they can try to find treatments that better are adapted to finding your particular type of cancer.
Wow.
And this is at no cost. So there's a lot of resources out there that I want people to be aware of. That's it.
I love it.
Let's go out and do good stuff.
I love it. I normally share like emotional healing and emotional intelligence and things of this nature. And you hit an area of balance where we all need to understand too, it's not just emotional, it's also physical. Like, you hit the, I mean, thank you, Chon. Like, it's speaking to me, because it's like, you do need to get a checkup. You do need to follow up. You do need to take care of yourself, not just emotionally, but physically as well. And a lot of us lack that. So thank you for that last, that tip, man.
It's no shave November, right? So men's health awareness, you know, prostate cancer awareness. This is the month, so I'm happy to do this with you.
And appreciate it,
hopefully,
brother.
We can encourage some people out there, men and women, to go out and take care of themselves a little more as well.
Amen. 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 Brother, thank
pleasure.
You. Thank you so much, man. Thank you so much. Guys, I hope you guys enjoyed it. I hope it was a blessing. Any questions, send them this way. I can get them over to Chon. I could answer them myself if you have anything for me. But nevertheless, always doing my best to try to deliver something amazing for you guys. With that being said, God bless you guys.